Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I have proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this Easter morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it is true. It is, it's a very real thing that all of us look forward to Easter Sunday, choir, staff, because it's a full house. And we love a full house. It's a good thing. And so thank you all for coming and being here on this Easter Sunday morning. And it looks like the clouds are moving on to the east, and we may actually have a clear day perhaps. But it's good. And thank you all. You bless us with your presence this morning, and you also offer blessings to God as well as we gather in this worship time. Now, I'm also very aware that there are other folks in here, and this is actually you are who I am addressing this sermon to this morning. Those certain ones of you who actually would rather be somewhere else than here. Now, you're here for a variety of reasons, perhaps. Family obligations. Maybe you're here because you lost a bet. Maybe you're here on a date. That happens. Maybe you're here because it is Easter, and it's the American cultural thing to do on Easter Sunday morning. Let's just get up and go to Easter church. So, there are those, I'm sure, here this morning who would really rather be, somewhere else. Now, there's a group of you in that group, rather be somewhere else, where part of your issue is illogical. You have deep questions in your heart about this whole Easter thing. That, every ancient culture had its springtime resurrection story. And so you come with a question, kind of a doubt. Isn't this Easter thing really just another empty myth? Now, I'll also be honest with you, there was times in my life when I wondered that as well. I remember one evening I was with my dad. We were in the car together, just him and me. We were driving somewhere, I don't know, and I was going through a particular phase. And so I got the nerve to ask him, "So, Dad," you got to remember, my dad was a Methodist preacher all his life. Staunch Methodist preacher. Strong convictions. Remember, I'm going through a phase. So I say, "Dad, so, is all this true?" And I said, "What do you mean, true?" Was it all this Christian Jesus stuff? Is it true? Now this is my dad, World War II veteran, Army infantry, lugging his Browning semi-automatic rifle through northern France, dodging hedgerows and bullets in his platoon, going, you know, front lines. He gets back from the war humble, grateful, and a changed man. And he says, well, son, yes, I do believe it's true. So then I say, remember, I'm going through a phase. So then I say, well, Dad, so what if science sometime soon comes up with, you know, the God particle that explains away everything? What if it's the missing link is discovered? What if they discover God gene in the brain that explains everything about this human bent for religion? What if all that's discovered and you realize that your whole life has been spent in vain? Remember, I'm going through a phase. He wasn't ready for that. So he thinks. And then he says, well, if that's the case, then it really is not going to be me that's to be pitied. It's all of humanity. It's all of us. It's as if it would be just one big cosmic joke, but there'd be no one to laugh and no one to cry and no one to care. Truth of the matter is, there are a lot of people in this world who think they're living in one big cosmic joke. You remember Henry David Thoreau, the Transcendentalist, he had a very famous quote. You probably remember this one. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Empty. There's another piece to that line. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to their grave with their song still in them. This fatalist attitude is even in the Bible. There's a whole book about it in the Old Testament. And it's called Ecclesiastes. It starts out, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You could read it this way. Emptiness, emptiness, all is emptiness. Our futility, futility, all is futile. Our meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. What do people gain from all this toil? What do they toil under the sun? Generation goes, generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, and hurries to a place where it rises. Is there anything which someone can say this is new? It's already been ages before us. The people of long ago are not remembered, nor will they be any remembrance of people yet to come by those who come after them. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. This particular attitude is not contemporary. It has been part of the human existence since we came upon the planet. This balance between futility and idealism. The Apostle Paul addresses it in his letter to the Corinthians. He had gone to Corinth to start a new church of Greeks. And he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in his crucifixion and his resurrection. It resonated with those people there, and they started a community, a Christian community in Corinth. And all seemed to be going well, except over a period of time, some started to doubt. I guess because they were started to be persecuted or mocked and ridiculed for some of the ideas that they believed in, like the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body. And so they started to doubt. And their belief started to be empty and in vain. And so the Apostle Paul addresses this very issue in his letter to these Greek Corinthians. It's in his first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. It is the culmination of this very powerful letter when he addresses three important things. The resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of the body. First, he says, let's talk about the resurrection of Christ. Did it happen? Is it for real? And so he says, well, let me tell you this. This is what I know. What I know is Cephas, Peter, had a profound encounter with the risen Christ. And he told me about it. What I can tell you is that the 12 apostles had a profound encounter with the risen Christ. They had an experience with Christ risen from the dead. And they have told me about it. James, Jesus' brother. His brother, not one of the disciples, his brother, the one who did not believe while Jesus was living on this earth, he had a profound encounter with the risen Christ, his brother. And he tells about it. There are at least 500 others, Paul says, who have had an encounter with the risen Christ. And then as one untimely born, me. He appeared to me. Now the book of Acts tells us the story of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. How he was persecuting early Christians and how on the road to Damascus he encountered the risen Christ and was flung to the ground and became blind. The story's all there. But when Paul tells it himself, personally, in his letter to the Galatians, he's a whole lot more humble. And he says, by the grace of God, when God chose to reveal his Son to me, so that I might proclaim him to the world. So Paul says, I don't know what else I can explain to you or how I can share this with you, that all these people were eyewitnesses. Different times, different people, different circumstances, but they all had a profound experience, an encounter with the risen Christ. That's all I can tell you. So then he says, now, I know some of you have an issue with this whole idea of the resurrection of the dead. Let's talk about that. So then he goes on to say, well, what this means is that the resurrection of Christ has everything to do with what happens now. God's whole point was that Christ was the first fruits of a whole new paradigm, a whole new creation, and that Christ was the first, and those who die in Christ are a part of something that is new, God's new creation taking place. So the old paradigm, the old Adamic Adam paradigm, humanity was destined for death. But in the new paradigm of Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ are destined for life. Life everlasting. And then he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then those of your loved ones who have gone before you in death, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then they have passed on and dissolved into oblivion forever. So what about resurrection of the body? We live outside the walls of this church. There is a very predominant worldview that is very much a part of our lives, the scientific orthodox worldview, which basically says that the universe is a machine. It operates as a machine. And a machine has no conscience, and a machine has no memory. Once it breaks or once it dies, it's conscious, it's over. And therefore, a machine has no memory and no purpose. The universe is a machine, and you and I are machines. When we die, our conscience is over. Our memory is done. The meaning of our life never was. Many evolutionary biologists, many Darwinian biologists hold fast to that orthodoxy. The universe is a machine. Now, there are other scientists, though, quantum theorists and physicists, who will tell us that, you know, the truth of the matter is we human beings only know about 4% of what's out there in the universe. There's another 96% that we have absolutely no clue over. And so they have a formula for this unknown piece. Understand, they call it the M theory. This 96% we don't know anything about, M theory. And you press them and you go, well, just what does the M stand for? And if you press them hard, the only thing they can come up with is mystery. It's mystery. When Paul talks about the resurrection of the body, he's using human language. He's using metaphor and poetics, rhetoric. He's using the limitations of human language to talk about things that are far beyond human understanding. And so he uses the same metaphor that Jesus used. He said, an acorn, a seed. A seed, an acorn is just an acorn, but we all know within that little acorn something majestic lies in it. There's an oak tree in this acorn. But in order for the acorn to become an oak tree, it's got to be buried in the ground and it's got to die of being an acorn in order for it to become an oak tree. What's sown is perishable, but what rises is imperishable. What's sown is weak, but what rises is powerful. What is sown is mundane, but what rises is glorious. And behold, I will tell you a mystery, he says. We shall not all die, but we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I love the Natalie Sleeth song. In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and the snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be, unrevealed until its season, only God alone can see. And the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation, and many go to their graves with the song still in them. I remember in high school there was an Easter phrase that went, "He came singing love, and he lived singing love, and he died singing love, but he rose in silence, and he gave you and me the song." And if the song is to be continued, we must do the singing. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future. What it holds is a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Now, I really truly don't have the illusion that for those of you who came this morning wishing you were somewhere else, that my little words this morning changed your mind. If there is any prayer I have, is that maybe, just maybe, your little sense of emptiness might receive a spark, a rekindling of the Easter spirit, and to know that the tomb became empty so that your life may be lived full. Full. Full of expectations and full of hope. Full of love and full of grace. Full of life everlasting.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.